In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text for this evening is written in Luke chapter 23. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." On the cross, we can see God's judgment upon the world. The judgment was visibly manifested when the sun's light failed. Jesus, at the end, called out in a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." These were not the last desperate words of a dying man. He shouts them. He proclaims his victory over death. Jesus dies not because he is overcome by his suffering on the cross, but he dies according to his own free will. He laid down his life for the sins of the world. In his last words on the cross, he quotes from Psalm 31, written by Israel's greatest king, King David. In these words that Jesus speaks, we can see and hear the most terrifying sign of God's judgment. From the cross, again and again, Christ quotes the scriptures concerning himself. Yet, the scribes, the Pharisees, the crowd, and even his own disciples do not understand. The prophet Amos warned Israel, saying, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing the words of the Lord." Jesus himself taught his disciples, saying, "Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Just like God judged Pharaoh by hardening his heart to the words of Moses, God judges faithless Israel by hardening their hearts to the words of Christ. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Christ takes upon his lips the prayer of great King David. Yet the religious establishment, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees hear the words of Jesus, and all they hear are the words of a dying man. Those who were experts in the scriptures hear, but they do not hear. They do not hear the words of King David coming from the lips of the one who is greater than King David, the one whom David called Lord. The religious establishment, the crowds, and his own disciples see a broken man crowned with thorns upon the cross. They see, but they do not see. They do not see that he is dying for them. Before them is the Son of Man, high and lifted up, establishing his reign. The King of the universe ascending to his throne before them. God judged faithless Israel by sending a famine of the word into the land. He sent his own Son to fulfill the scriptures that he had entrusted to them before their very eyes. But they did not see. Jesus even quoted to them the scriptures that were being fulfilled, but because of the hardness of their hearts, they did not hear. It was a Roman, a Gentile, who knew nothing of the Old Testament promises to Israel, who praised God, saying, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And according to the Gospel of Matthew, he professed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." God judged the religious establishment of Israel by taking his word from them and giving it to a Gentile. Brothers and sisters, are we under the judgment of God today? Is there a famine of the word in the land today? Do we see? Do we hear? Or are we, like first century Israel, blind and deaf? We are certainly blessed to live in an age where the Bible is more accessible than ever. God has entrusted his church with the nourishing feast of his word. Before the Reformation, it was impossible to get a Bible in your own language. It wasn't uncommon that your priest and your local church wouldn't even have a Latin copy of the scriptures. The people hungered for the word of God, but they were left starving. The church had been unfaithful. The Roman Catholic Church had become blind and deaf to the word which God entrusted to them. When Luther and the Reformers translated the Bible into the languages of the people, the word of God was restored to the average Christian. They were eager to hear what God had to say to them. Many even learned to read just so they could read the scriptures. It is because of the Reformation that John George Schoom's Bible sits open right there. He catechized his family in the Christian faith and lived his life according to the word of God. And around the world today, Christians die to hear the word that has been given to them. But today in America, the average household owns 4 to 5 Bibles, yet most are perishing. We see in Christ's own church those who label themselves as Christians yet reject the word of God. They hear when God says, "I knit you together in your mother's womb," and they see the image of a baby on the ultrasound monitor, yet they say, "This is not a child created by God. It is not even human. It is my decision whether it lives or dies." God forbid. Repent. There are Christians who hear God's word say, "God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them." And they hear God's word say, "A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." But they do not hear. They, like the serpent in the garden, ask, "Did God really say?" We live in a society determined to throw out God's definition of marriage. Repent. Some hear God's word when he says, "Surely you were sinful at birth, sinful from the time your mother conceived you." Or when God's word says, "No one is righteous, no, not one." But they do not hear. They see all the wicked deeds of men, but they do not see. A poll conducted by Ligonier Ministries found that over half of American Protestants believe that man is basically good and that their own good works help earn their salvation. Before us a feast is laid, but we starve. The American church is in a famine of the word, brothers and sisters. We must repent. God took his word from first century Israel and gave it to the Gentile Roman. Let us cling to the word of God in faith, for it is always true. Let us pray to God that he may not remove his word from us because of our unfaithfulness. In our text this evening, there is great judgment, but there is also great gospel. When Jesus shouts, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," he also communicates to us something about the nature of God. Jesus tells us that God is a loving God, and that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, brothers and sisters, God from all eternity has been a loving God, As we confess in the Nicene Creed, God in himself is Father, a loving Father, who from all eternity begot his only Son. He is the loving Father who begets children. God in himself is the Son from all eternity and was the one begotten by the Father, the Son who in perfect love and obedience does the will of the Father and shares in all that belongs to the Father. God in himself is the Holy Spirit who eternally proceeds from the Father and the Son. You see, brothers and sisters, God from the very beginning was three persons in perfect loving unity, sharing all with each other. We see this love and trust in the words of our Lord when he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus is surrounded by his enemies, as King David was when he first prayed these words. He hangs on the cross, bearing all the sins of the world and all their penalties in his flesh. In that moment, he turns to his Father in absolute faith. Then he dies to pay the penalty for our sin and our unfaithfulness. He dies so that we may be joined with him in his death, and that we may be joined with him in his resurrection, so that we may be taken into the life of the Holy Trinity. Brothers and sisters, hear the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians when he says that God, who is the loving Father from all eternity, chose us before the very foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before himself through Christ. Also hear when the Apostle writes, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Brothers and sisters, see the waters of holy baptism, which God has adopted you as heirs in Christ. Hear his word to you, that in Christ you are his beloved children, whom from all of the Father, who from all eternity begets children. When you have been faithless, when you have sinned, and fear God has taken his word from you, look to the font and remember his promises to you, that you are his beloved children. Beloved, look to the altar and hear Jesus' words when he says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of sins." Look and see, not bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus, so that you may know that he has not taken his word from you, but given it to you to eat and drink, that by the Holy Spirit you may confess, like John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." Look and see the word made flesh given to you. Beloved, a feast is laid before us so that we may not starve. You are baptized into Christ and participate in his body and blood. On the cross, when Jesus commits his spirit to the Father in faith and love, he commits your spirit to the Father. And when you die, your spirit will be received into the life of the Trinity. On the last day, your body will be raised like Christ's was raised. When you come to your death, you may do so confidently, as Christ did when he gave up his spirit. We remember our death when we lie down to sleep every night and pray, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," just as Christ prayed on the cross. And we remember our resurrection every morning when we rise up and again pray with confidence. Into your hands I commend my spirit, body, and soul, and all things. Because of the saving work of Christ performed on your behalf on the cross. Now, beloved, please open your hymnals to page 118, and we will pray together Luther's evening prayer. I thank thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast graciously kept me this day. And I pray thee that thou wouldst forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.